Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Mankind is beset with many problems. Among them are three great plagues that trouble the entire human family. They are ignorance, and sin, and physical distresses. In other words, man has mental, spiritual, and physical ailments. Jesus Christ has provided the basis for the answer to all three of these. As for ignorance, he said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," John 8:32. Knowledge dispels and displaces ignorance. Again, Paul wrote, 1 Timothy 1:15, "And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Dear listening friend, God has provided salvation for man through Jesus Christ. And our ultimate physical distress is that we physically die. But Jesus taught, recorded in John 5, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And Paul also wrote, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 15:42-44. The Bible is the only authoritative book by which man can consider the eternal future. It begins with the creation by the power of the eternal God. This God lives. He is the same God that loves us and makes provision for us. The all-knowing God has revealed certain matters to us in His Word, which is the inspired, infallible, inerrant, all-sufficient, and authoritative Bible. Now we're faced with a great proposition that we're living souls. Genesis 2 and verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." In Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Now Jesus said, "God is spirit," John 4:24. So we are created in the spiritual image of God, which means we are spirits as well as bodies. We have life. We are souls in the sense of life and spirit. And this spirit does not die when the body dies, but it is separated from the body and returns to God. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, James 2 and 26. So we're faced with the matter of eternal existence. This means that we shall live with ourselves always, never being rid of oneself. Now we have cars and we can trade them or sell them and be rid of them. We have clothing that we either wear out or discard when we retire of it. All material things shall cease to exist. But we shall not always be associated with them. But we shall never escape our own presence, because we are souls that shall never cease to be. Now, since we live and will live, even in eternity, what can one do to assure his existence will be a pleasant one? God gives us the answer through Christ. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us through his Son." In other words, the questions that we have, the problems that we face, God answers with the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel can accomplish for man what man needs, Romans 1 and verse 16. Now we wish to present the gospel in three separate pictures, hoping that this approach might magnify our responsibility before God with respect to the gospel of Christ. First, Let us think of the gospel as the world's biggest news story. The next time you see or hear a news program, you may be in store for some big news. Tomorrow's headlines may contain something tremendous. But the biggest news story of all ages occurred nearly 2,000 years ago, and that story is the gospel, the story of the Christ who died for the sins of man and was buried in a borrowed tomb, but was raised from the dead the third day. No report to man has ever been as great as this account. Can you imagine the impact of such an event if it were reported to have happened in our own time? What a day for newsmen and photographers, the curious as well as the serious. Everyone would crowd around every television or radio available to learn every detail. But what I'm talking about did not just recently happen, nor shall it happen again. But it did happen in Jerusalem many years ago. Unlike many news stories, this one requires something of all of us who hear it. What will you do with it? Will you lay it aside in unbelief and skepticism? Do you realize that your eternal destiny, as well as your manner of life here on earth, depends upon your reaction? Without the knowledge and the belief and the obedience to the commands that this news account imposes on us, there's no way to heaven. But second, let us consider the gospel as the will of Jesus Christ. This book, the last 27 books, is called the New Testament. A testament is a will. Christ died and left a will concerning man. Let me tell you something about that will that affects each of us. Sometimes people point to the thief on the cross as the way that we can be saved today. I know that they're trying to prove that salvation can be ours without obedience to baptism. It may well be true that the thief was never baptized, although there is no evidence one way or another about that. But the thief lived and died before this will of Christ was ever in effect. Abel, Abraham, David, on and on, they were not baptized, but what of that? How does that concern those of us who must give an account before Christ according to the will of Jesus Christ that does require it? Before a will becomes effective, the will maker must die, Hebrews 9 and verse 16. Christ spoke words of comfort and hope to the thief while both were yet alive, and the will was not yet in effect. While one lives, he can dispense of his blessings any way he sees fit, but once he dies, all things are according to the will. Christ, being alive, often spoke men's sins forgiven, and as far as we know, they were not baptized. But that has no effect on the plan of salvation for me and for you. Let me illustrate and make it clearer. Suppose a man dies and he leaves $100,000 for his daughter that she can receive upon her 21st birthday, provided she has completed her college education and is married. At the time of his death, she's 16. Can she demand the money immediately? She is yet in high school. She is unmarried. Is the money her money yet? Suppose she finishes college at the age of 20 and gets married, but still lacks a few months before reaching 21. Has she met the provisions of the will? She has met some of them, but not all of them. And not until all of the conditions are met is the fortune hers. Friend, this same principle operates regarding us and our salvation and the will of Christ. There are the conditions of faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ before salvation is ours to enjoy. That's according to the will. And third, let us think about some very distinguishing, distinctive marks about the gospel of Christ. Unfortunately, there are so many varying voices being heard in religion. There are so many different churches that contribute to the divided and chaotic religious scene that only confuses people. But there is a mark of difference about the gospel that makes it stand out above all other messages. Jesus said it in the last portion of Mark 16:16, "He that believeth not shall be damned." Friend, we must believe the gospel. Men may tell you that one faith is just as good as another. They may persuade you that the church really doesn't matter, that one is just as acceptable before God as the next. Or they may tell you that honesty and sincerity is all that matters, that you can be saved in the denomination of your choice, and on and on. But the Bible truth is, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there is one body, which is the church. Friend, there is one way to heaven, and that way is Christ. You can be saved and never accept what men teach about their churches and doctrines and their moral standards, but you cannot be saved if you reject what the Lord has taught and authorized to be taught in His name. You must believe His word if you ever expect to see God in His glory. The absolute necessity of conformity to the teaching of Christ cannot be demanded by any other message. But nothing compares to the God-given gospel. Christ has and is the answer to the problems of humanity. The Bible is God's revelation of that answer. There is no other source of teaching to which we can turn, and to know the assurance of what is revealed therein like we can when we turn to the Bible. This great news account, this will of Christ, this which cannot be disbelieved and the unbeliever be saved, stands before each of us to decide how we will react and respond to its message and its commands. What will your answer be? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.